God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. As an introduction, let me just entertain a humorous thought. What would happen if you found in your backyard a money tree? Would you be happy? Would you be delighted? Would you be overjoyed that, yes, you have that precious money growing from the tree in your backyard? Now, if you had that tree, what would you do if you had it? Would you be out there every morning bright and early plucking off those dollar bills? And if you did, what would you do with those dollar bills? Well, I will admit, I did hear one or two members who did say, you know, Pastor, if I win the lottery, I will give 10% to the church. Okay, would you give some to the church? Would you give some to your friends and neighbors? Would you just keep it all to yourself? Would you help the poor? Would you even allow strangers to come and harvest some bills from your tree? Would you even allow those who you hated and despised to also come to your tree? Or would you start getting so jealous for this tree you'd want to put a fence around it, block out the outsiders, and you and only you be in control of who is going to distribute the money, if you distribute any at all? And then what would happen if one day you noticed coming out of the ground, right there by that tree, there was a shoot? And you knew that another tree was going to grow from this shoot. What would you do? Would you cut it off because you wanted the only money tree around? Would you nurture it and now you had two money trees to get twice as rich? Or would you prune it and allow someone else to nurture this tree? Now, I'm not going to spend too much time about the wishfulness of a money tree, except for in the back of our minds, we always hear about this money tree, how we wish money would grow on trees. But today, looking at Revelation chapter 22, verse 2, it's not about a money tree, but something even more important. Our message today is going to be about the tree of life. Partaking of its fruit brings eternal life, something that the money tree cannot buy, no matter how productive that money tree may be. Today we'll be looking at that tree of life from Revelation chapter 22, verse 2. But before we get to that, we have to go to from the last book of the Bible to the first book of the Bible, from Revelation to Genesis, to see where that tree of life comes from. You see, that tree of life was part of the Garden of Eden, along with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which Adam and Eve were commanded not to eat. We may remember the account. The tempter came by, and Adam and Eve took the forbidden fruit. The result was that sin entered God's perfect creation. Adam and Eve, after tasting the forbidden fruit, would now taste death. And they were now banished from the Garden of Eden. But God does not kick them out of the Garden of Eden, so to speak, without any hope. As the chastisement is sort of coming down, God promises a Savior. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we have the first promise. God here is speaking to that tempter, and he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. You see, that promised Savior was going to come to bruise the head of the serpent, the devil, the tempter. And the bruising of the head would spell certain defeat. This occurred when Jesus went to the cross. When he died on the cross, he defeated sin, death, and the devil. That's when that final victory was sort of given, and the devil was defeated. Christ's death on the cross, however, cost him a bruise. Yes, he died. He was dead. He was buried. But God the Father raised him from the dead. Henceforth, it gives us the concept of bruising the heel, not a fatal bruise, whereas the bruising of the head was fatal. Now, this tree of life was there in the Garden of Eden. And Revelation gives us a picture of it in heaven above. So we have the tree of life in our past, and we have the tree of life in our future. What about the here and now? do we see the tree of life anywhere here and now? The answer is yes, sort of. You see, the tree of life is in the church in the here and now. Let me explain why. Notice in our text from Revelation chapter 22, verse 2, the tree of life is referred to as bearing fruit, and its very leaves are used for healing. In one essence, this is the action of the church. The church where the community of believers come to hear God's word, to hear that healing power of God's word. Not only to hear it, but to read it and to hear it being proclaimed. Because where the word of God is preached and proclaimed, there is the message of the forgiveness of sins that Jesus Christ won for us by his death on the cross. That is where we receive our healing. And not just in that word of God alone, but whenever that word of God is now attached with water, there is that healing baptism. Whenever God now touches our lives with that word of God, with simple bread and wine, which is now the body and blood of Christ, the Lord's Supper, again, we are healed. We come and we are healed as the church proclaims God's word and administers his sacraments. God touches our lives with the healing balm of the forgiveness of sins, the gospel message. So as a church, as we go about doing our business of proclaiming God's word and administering the sacraments, this is given sort of as a type of this tree of life, providing the forgiveness of sins, the pathway to eternal life. Now let me just back up for a moment to Genesis chapter 3. Have you ever wondered why God barred the entrance to the Garden of Eden? Why couldn't Adam and Eve just return to the garden, pluck the fruit of the tree of life, and live forever? Well, actually, Genesis chapter 3 gives us a little bit of a clue, beginning with verse 22. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword and turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." Now we might be thinking at this point, how cruel of God to bar that tree of life. But it's not how cruel. God has already given Adam and Eve and us that ray of hope in verse 15. That ray of hope coming from the Savior. The Savior who was going to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. You see, God does want us to live forever, to be with Him forever in heaven above. God does desire all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, as 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 reminds us. So why the cherubim? Because we need the Savior. You see, God promised in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3 that he would defeat the devil. God was wanting us to look forward to that time of Jesus' death and resurrection upon the cross. Not living in our past and with regrets, but looking forward to the forgiveness of sins, which Jesus alone provides. You see, God wants us to live forever, but to live with him in that state of love and forgiveness. The problem is, our very nature is sinful. And not just our very nature that we inherit from Adam and Eve, but the actual sins we commit don't help. We need a Savior. We need healing for this condition. And that's why the healing takes place. But through the death and resurrection of Jesus the Christ, this is why the entrance is barred. The easy way out is not an option because blood must be spilled. God's wrath must be appeased for the forgiveness of sins to take place. So the tree of life isn't open to us yet because we haven't been forgiven. Now the type of that forgiveness a type of that tree of life is open to us. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins. Through His Word, that gospel message, we have the forgiveness of sins. Through the sacrament, we have the forgiveness of sins. And so the church now becomes a place where God sort of gives a little bit of that tree of life, so to speak, that type of tree of life, for the reminding of our forgiveness of sins, which Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. And this is why Christians gather to hear His Word and to receive the sacraments. Your very eternal life depends upon it. And this is probably why this beautiful passage of Scripture, as St. John is given a little bit of a picture of what heaven is like, is read on All Saints' Day. A day that we remember that those who believed and trust in Jesus Christ, who are now no longer with us, are now with our Lord and Savior in heaven above. Particularly this day, we also remember those saints, especially here at Trinity, who have gone to heaven before us, particularly Gertie Krause and Grace Stark. We say that they're in heaven because of the faith that God has given them, faith that believes in the healing of the forgiveness of sins through the gospel and the sacraments. We know that John 3:16 reminds us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Because of their faith, which trusts this first promise of God that a Savior would crush the head of the devil and free us from the devil, our own death, and our own sinfulness, we now have life. We rejoice with God because He has delivered on the promises. He has brought a type of the tree of life and provided for us the forgiveness of sins. Now let me change the direction for a moment. At the beginning of the message, I mentioned about the money tree in our backyard as an example. Let's do a little bit of a parallel now. Both are giving. Both are free. But one, by our sinful nature, we'd want to protect. The gospel message is to go out, as Revelation chapter 2 reminds us, to all nations, for all people to experience the grace, not just for one people group to hoard and protect, but God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The healing power of the forgiveness of sins that the church provides is for all people. So we don't put a fence around it. We don't have a secret password that only so-and-so can come to the church. No, God's message for love, forgiveness, and for healing is not just for us and our families, not just for our friends, but also for strangers. Yes, Jesus even says that we are to love our enemies. God's love and His gift of forgiveness is for all people. Unfortunately, as Christians, we like to hide His love and forgiveness. We don't want to share it with all the world, afraid that we're going to lose it, we may. But the reality is, it's freely offered, freely given to us. And God wants us to freely share. Our selfishness keeps us from sharing God's love and His forgiveness with a world that's still in need of healing. It doesn't sound very fair. It'd be almost like the medical community saying to us, "I can't heal you of your illness. You're not worthy." No, we want all people to be healed. So likewise, with God's love and forgiveness, we want all people to be exposed to the healing power of God's gospel that we so boldly proclaim on this day. As we gather here, reminding ourselves of the glory and the forgiveness of sins that the tree of life gives to us, we also hang on to the grace that God freely bestows through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On this day, we remember All Saints' Day, a day that, yes, we remember those who are now with our Lord and Savior in heaven above, and as Martin Luther said, we also remember that, yes, we are saints. Not that we're dead, we're still alive, and so Luther called us saints and sinners at the same time. We're saints because of this gospel message, because of the forgiveness of sins, we are assured 100% that yes, we have a place with God in heaven above. So part of this day is also for our celebration, celebrating the faith that our Lord and Savior has given to us, the tree of life. So we give great praise and thanks to our Lord for all that He has done for us. And we ask the Lord to fill us with His Spirit, to help us to be bold, to continue to share His love and forgiveness with those around us, because we don't have to go too far in our own lives or in the lives of other people to see people hurting from the sin and the sinfulness that they are in. So we ask the Lord to bring, this healing upon us as we boldly proclaim what He has done through His death and through His resurrection. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.